Deep into the earth I go. Deep into the earth I know. Deep into the earth I go. Deep into the earth I know. Hold my hand, sister. Hold my hand. Hold my hand, sister. Hold my hand. Deep into the earth I go. Deep into the earth I know. Deep into the earth I go. Deep into the earth I know. Hold my hand, sister. Hold my hand. Hold my hand, sister. Hold my hand.
Hello, before we get started with today's episode, I just want to mention to you what a labor of love this podcast is and invite you, if you receive benefit from listening, to subscribe and make a monthly financial contribution. There's an option here in the Anchor app. So if you're listening to this on some other platform and this is sounding appealing to you, that you'd like to subscribe and support this podcast, visit it on the Anchor app or at anchor.com and look for the Womb-Centered Healing podcast there. And there you'll be able to subscribe. There are various contributions, monthly contributions that you can make. And I really appreciate you supporting this podcast to be able to continue offering you this womb-centered healing wisdom. And another way that you can subscribe is by becoming a member of the Womb-Centered Healing Temple. This is my own membership site created by myself, Sama Morningstar, and you can find out more about that, those membership options at wombcenteredhealing.com and look for the member sign-up page. All right, I look forward to seeing you in one of these membership options, and here we go. Welcome to the next episode of the Womb Centered Healing Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Womb Centered Healing Podcast. I'm delighted to have Jonita D'Souza here with me again. Thank you so much for joining me, Jonita. My goodness, how many podcasts have we done together? I don't know. We'd have to look back through. Today, Jonita is going to share about her work with the dark feminine. I can't wait to hear what you're going to say, and I can't wait to hear how that work might weave in together with some of my work and reflections on healing womb trauma. So we don't know where it's going to go. So we're in for quite a rich, juicy conversation, I'm sure, as usual. So to start out, Jonita, I would love for you to introduce yourself a little bit for listeners who haven't listened to one of our podcasts or interviews before, and then share with us about your work with the dark feminine. I know you have a retreat coming up, but it's sold out. But you can at least share us with us about your work so that we might be intrigued to pre-book for a future retreat as you do these regularly. So,
yeah, thank you for having me here. Yes, and you got me counting. Wow, what number is this podcast? Probably the third one together.
Uh-huh. Maybe and so.
Yeah, maybe so. It's always a pleasure to talk to you because we share so many things in common with our work, as mm-hmm. well as we have our own unique aspect and perspective to the womb work, which keeps drawing me back to your work and vice versa, probably. So I'm delighted mm-hmm. to be here. Lovely to be here. And for for everyone watching, listening. My name is Janita D'Souza. I call myself a feminine lifestylist, and very similar to Sama, I assist women to reconnect with their feminine wisdom in their bodies so that they can experience deeper sense of connection to their existence on a day-to-day basis. And dark feminine has been really interesting topic in my life recently. I would say consciously over the last 2 to 3 years, which finally led me to offer what I'm offering. It's interesting how our life is our work and our work is our life. Like it just weaves through. But I like that more and more platforms are becoming available to talk about the dark feminine, because when I started talking about it a couple of years ago, I had like a mixed reaction and a lot of sense of confusion among people, the way they were receiving this information. First of all, when you say dark feminine, it feels like the work of the evil, you know, like, so I could feel that there were like three different category of women, or they fitted in three different boxes for me, I could say. And the first one was mostly that women thought that it is the work of the evil. And, you know, the most of the personal development industry is about positive work and, you know, be positive and talk about the light consciousness. So some women took it as that work of the evil, which was like very shocking for me. And that was really shocking to me, because I did not see dark as evil, but a lot of the society, a major part of the society, kind of has this connotation around the dark, that the dark is bad. And then there was another category of women who actually found this topic too scary to dive in, because it may open like another box of worms, you know, which they were not ready to face. And then also, I also encountered women who were really interested in this topic, the dark feminine. And probably those were the women I was attracting with my work. So there were a lot of resistance, confusion, but what I feel like is that the everyday, especially who we are empaths and we feel deeply, feel more sensitive to energies and people around, we are experiencing a whole range of dark feminine energies these days, given all the crazy cosmic events that have been taking place, everyday societal stress, our daily habits, relationships. So I think the dark feminine plays a really important role, and that has not been portrayed very well or as much as right now, because we cannot head towards the light without talking about the dark. So yeah, I'm excited to talk about that.
Awesome. So what was your first experience of realizing that this was an aspect of your work with femininity and feminine lifestyle for yourself personally that you needed to develop and dive into more? How did you wake up to that, if you will, or recognize that and start to explore that?
It's interesting because, like so many of us, my journey also began, my journey of exploring femininity also began from that dark night of the soul moment, as they say, that, you know, and this phrase is very well known and people use it time after time. And I never gave much importance about, like, what is this dark night of the soul? You know, it's usually referred to as some kind of stage of depression, but what about the dark? You know, like what is so interesting or intriguing about the dark? That, you know, we encounter dark nights of the soul. And it was 2 years ago when during the time of Easter, which for me was the moment where it hit me. I was at the time studying the Magdalene's part, and I was going into the teachings of Yeshua and Magdalene, and a deep sense of remembrance is felt in my body all over, and I felt like the dark felt so good. Like the dark really felt like, oh, I have nothing to lose. And I started building this affinity towards the dark, like as if this dark was this place of love and completion and unconditional acceptance, like the loving darkness of the mother's womb. And I could not understand this feeling that I was getting as I was learning more about the Magdalene's lineage, which was very contradictory to what I have been told about the dark. Like, how can dark feel so good? And am I becoming some kind of like, I don't know, am I getting lost in what I'm discovering or understanding or relating to? So I spent, that was a Saturday, and I realized that it was a Saturday after the Good Friday and the Sunday before Easter. And I had this feeling, and I realized, like, hold on, looks like I am in this dark period, because yesterday was the death, you know, the Good Friday, the death, and then tomorrow is the resurrection, the birth and the light. But there is the space in between, which is the darkness that no one talks about. And this darkness just felt so good. It was a very surreal experience. I felt really happy, and with all my sadnesses that I was going through. And I just could not understand this phenomena. And that was the first time I started inquiring about what does this dark mean. And then I came across all the ancient teachings about the darkness, the dark therapy, the dark goddesses, and the Lilith, and the Inanna, and the underworld, and all of the entire new information just was waiting for me only when I was ready to see darkness from a different perspective. So it was, I think, to be short, it was this moment of experiencing pure joy and acceptance in the saddest of my moments in life, which led me to this inquiry.
Mm-hmm. You know, it makes me, what you're sharing makes me remember that at a certain point in my life, in my romantic life, early on, I realized that I felt the very same types of feelings when I was falling in love as when I was going through a breakup. It was the same intensity. It was the same body sensations. It was the same energy and I was like, oh, this feels so much the same. It's just the same, right? And so, and it's the similar to the similarity between what goes on at birth and what goes on at death, right? We're passing through a portal, and it's also similar. What you're describing is similar to many women finding the joy and pleasure in menstruation, because menstruation is the dark phase of our cycle, and finding the power of the dark moon, that moment of darkness, that day or two of darkness before the moon starts to grow, and the joys and pleasures of the dark time of the year, the winter time of the year. You know, and allowing that cyclical nature of femininity and having joy and pleasure, discovering the joys and pleasures in those dark phases.
There is no other way for us women being the cyclical beings. We cannot always be happy. We cannot always be positive, and we cannot always, you know, be on our highs, and that's it. That's not how we are wired as women. And the more we learn, as you said, to embrace these cycles of the moon, the seasons, our menstruation, and make that relationship with this darkness and recognize our dark feminine, that's when we will not be able to go into the distorted version of the dark feminine. And this is what mostly we do in our retreat as well. It's not about you know, knowing your dark feminine and then you know, facing it, or you know, how to fight it. But it's about making this ever-present relationship with the dark feminine aspect of yourself, because it's going to exist as long as you exist as a woman. So you better make friends, or she will control you.
Uh-huh. And so I'm curious about that, because, you know, we're talking about this pleasure that we can feel in that we can learn to feel in the dark phases of our cycles, in the dark seasons, in the dark of night, in the darkness of the center of our womb. And now you're talking about dark aspects of our personality, perhaps dark archetypes or dark behavior patterns, that it sounds like you're more referring to things that are really difficult or perhaps damaging to ourselves or others, and calling that the dark side of the feminine and the dark side of our personality. Am I reading too much into what you were saying, or is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, you're actually going in the right direction, uh-huh. Sama. I feel that what I have noticed is that the dark feminine, she plays out in our everyday life, and it is very apparent if we look around. And I feel like there are three main stages to how she plays out in our life. And the first stage is like the dormant stage of this dark feminine in our lives, where she is repressed, where we repress her. And when we do this, we are acting a lot of times from our shadow side. And then where we go into, you know, behaviors like manipulation, and then some kind of addictions, emotional eating, and things like that. And then we sometimes, when we recognize that from that dormant stage of our dark feminine, we move on to some kind of distorted stage. Like we become the rebels. We take revenge, or we still act out of our dark feminine, but like a rebel, you know. And then it is good to recognize these phases of our life and how she plays out, because only when we recognize this this dormant stage and this distorted stage is when we can reach that stage of reclaiming her, so that we understand that these, you know, we usually see her as our shadow side, the repressed side within ourselves. But what we do not reach to the point is usually the archetype of the golden shadow, which is like the gold that is hidden within our darkness. Mm-hmm. And usually this leads to our deep desires. Mm-hmm. And we act from that repressed point of our deep desires. So a lot of it depends on, a lot of it leads to recognition of our deep desires. So it's really important to see where she's playing in our lives and how, and then connecting back to the root of our deep desires. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And here I am finding the thread of how all of this work with the dark feminine is connected with our womb trauma. So
yeah,
it's connected, and what I'm seeing from what you're sharing and from my exploration is that it's connected to why and how we developed that pattern of repression to begin with. And that repression originates from the trauma of our parents, our mothers, not having permission to feel forbidden or dark feelings from the beginning, from the moment we're conceived. And possibly farther back through our ancestry, it has been forbidden and unallowed for women to express fully and feel their deepest desires, their core identity as a feminine being, and their power as a woman. You know, our mothers were
were living lives that where all of that was repressed by society, and that is traumatizing for a developing young woman or man or anyone of any gender to be experiencing. Yeah. Our mothers not being supported in their feminine power fully, mm-hmm. for example, during conception, during pregnancy, during birth. So we have this deep core trauma of our mothers not being fully supported to give us that fully delicious, pleasureful darkness of the womb, right? Many of our womb yes. experiences were filled with the stress and trauma of our mothers not being fully supported, not having their needs met. And then our birth experiences, in modern times, birth has been atrociously underserved and undersupported and even abused. Women in childbirth are being abused all the time by the medical birthing system that has certain ways it's supposed to be that are not really supportive to the natural birthing process, the healthy birthing process of mothers and babies. And so, and families and how we, are designed to be. And so those initial traumas, and then throughout childhood, young girls, since we are talking about the feminine, but this could apply to young men or of anyone of any gender who wants to own their own femininity. We're all, taught that it's that certain emotions are bad and that we don't have space or permission to feel them and that they don't have any wisdom in them. We're taught it makes us weak and stupid and unable to make healthy decisions if we are emotional. And that is traumatizing, especially for young children when we have strong emotions and then they're invalidated. And we don't have space. We're not given space to go through the natural process, and we're not taught how our emotions are telling us about our own inner wisdom and connecting us to our inner power. And we're not taught any of that. And that's traumatizing because it creates a rift in what's really true in ourselves, and it separates us from our core power. And so that's how that suppression or repression of that darkness meaning the forbidden emotions
exactly.
sadness, anger, rage, grief, all of these forbidden emotions are lumped in as darkness, evil, and to be avoided, right? Instead of a nourishing place where we really get to transform and grow, which they are. And so we're trained that, and then we learn to do that repression. And then all that repression, when we start to say, wait a second, I don't want to repress it anymore, it does. It comes out twisted. It comes out laced with with distortions. What's that?
A lot of different types of addictions.
Because that's how we're taught to cover it up and repress it. I feel like addictions are often part of the repression process, right? We eat it down, stuff it, or we drink it.
Just numb ourselves.
Exactly. Yeah. And so
in our society, I feel like in our society, the we are not given the time to discover this aspect. We are so busy, and the moment we feel a little bit of depression or a little bit of this kind of emotion coming up, like a little bit of sadness or grief or anger or something, we quickly tend to see, okay, what can we do to fix this now? Like the society has become like such a quick gratification centered society culture that these things are not given importance. And if you look at ancients, they gave a lot of importance, and a lot of other traditional indigenous cultures gave a lot of importance to the darkness, even the dark moon. These are the times that you have to give yourself the permission to experience the darkness. And when I studied about different cultures and how they treat darkness, it was really interesting to see that how ascended masters like Yeshua, Buddha, and all, they also practice enlightenment through embodying the dark, staying out in the dark for long hours, meditating under the tree on top of the mountain. They stayed there in the dark and stayed there, experienced it. In shamanic cultures, when you do plant medicines like ayahuasca and sweat lodge and all of those things, they happen in the dark. Buddhist monks practice death meditation in the dark every single day. And many rites of passages for young adults are also in the South American cultures are done in the night, where they are buried in the earth. Vision quests are done in the dark. So many associations are there in different parts of the world with the dark, but our modern society has no place for it. Mm-hmm. And which is why it is important for us women to recognize this important aspect of our feminine and make the space for it.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And in fact, there's a certain tradition of yogis that actually spends time in the cemetery and lives in the cemetery as a practice of being close to death and darkness. And all these practices you're talking about being in the physical darkness for the meditation, for the practice, it's also about being in touch with those dark, forbidden emotions. Yeah. And that they're not forbidden because they're actually sought after as a pathway to growth and to awareness, and I wouldn't say enlightenment because it's not really that. It's more of expansion to include all that is, just an union with the divine, which is everything, right? And that includes half the time it's dark, right? And half the time things are difficult and painful. It's not always pleasurable. And when we shut out the things that are painful or difficult or uncomfortable and only want to be in the light, it stops life. I mean, just imagine if the sun shone all the time.
Yeah.
All shrivel up and all the plants would die and there would be no life left.
It'd
be too hot. And we need that cycle. We need that cyclical nature is what generates life. It's like the engine of life going from light to dark to light to dark to light to dark. And so it's the same with our emotions and our behavior, you know, and it's such a difference between someone who is just coming, I speak from my own personal experience. So when I realized I was suppressing particularly anger, it was forbidden, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I started to look for the wisdom in my anger or annoyance or irritation. What was I desiring underneath this? When I would try to communicate that, and it still does come out twisted, or like I'm still unable sometimes to have it come across as a wisdom. And sometimes that's because I've, you know, some of my distortion comes out with it, but sometimes that's because people don't want to hear. It's still forbidden with the people that I'm trying to express myself to. It's forbidden for a woman to express her
anger
or dissatisfaction or desires about something to be different than it is, of saying, you know, I really would like to see this instead of what's happening, because what's happening is upsetting. And validating that the wisdom in that anger, we usually get angry because something's happening that's not working, that's injurious to ourselves and to those around us, and we see some way that it could be better if we allow ourselves to really be with that anger and see the way that we could improve, and let that anger, the energy of that anger, transform the situation. And sometimes that's an uncomfortable conversation with somebody, but having that direct conversation is very challenging. You know, the distortion comes when we're too afraid to say directly to the person, I'm angry, and instead we, you know,
tell it to somebody else and then they hear it in hand, or tell it in front of a whole group instead of to them directly, and you know,
and so, many times we then also feel guilty for even expressing it. So yeah. we build up resentment to our own behaviors then, and then the cycle just, I mean, that was my case. I would, you know, blast out, and then I will feel bad that I reacted out of my regular behavior.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it is interesting that you brought about the anger, because in our retreat in particular, we have one day that is dedicated, we work with the different dark goddess archetypes, and one day is wholly dedicated to the dark goddess Kali, and she's all about the sacred rage. And what I have noticed is that so many of us, so we go through some embodiment practices there, and so many of us women have real issues expressing their anger. And when I tell them that, okay, think about something that makes you angry, and people are confused. These women are confused. They're like, I don't think anything makes me angry right now. I think, I'm sorted now. I'm feeling good. I'm in the retreat. I'm like, no. Think about something that really pisses you off. And I'm trying to provoke them. And they act like, no, everything is fine for now. But then when we go into it, when I start talking about like, okay, look at the world around you. What about this, gentle mutilation? What about the women, being abused, violence, art, and the rage starts to build in, and the rage comes out. And sometimes they themselves are surprised that they've been holding on to so much anger. But it's so important to bring it out, because only through that you can tap into the bigger picture of your sacred purpose on this planet. So this is so important aspect of our dark feminine.
It's such a powerful fuel for transformation. You know, I've studied a lot about how anger moves or gets stuck in the body. And one thing that I've discovered from Chinese medicine and my herbal studies is that the liver is associated with anger. And what the liver does physically is it filters toxins out of the blood. So it feels to me like anger filters toxins out of our life. And then what the liver does is it takes those toxins and puts it and turns it into bile, which is a useful substance necessary to digest the fatty richness of our foods, right? It breaks it down. So it transforms what was toxic into something useful that helps us to fully digest and absorb the richness of life. And that's the same thing that anger does if we're fully functioning. But the suppression of anger ends up with liver stagnation, right? So if we suppress our emotions, it actually stops our livers from functioning properly.
And that's also directly connected to our breasts. Liver is directly connected to our breasts.
And our menstrual cycle. And our menstrual cycle, our blood and our menstrual cycle gets stagnant, and I work a lot with helping women to have healthy menstrual cycles, and stagnation of the blood is the biggest, number of people have stagnation, that shows up with menstrual cramps, slow getting started, old residue of blood in there because it's not flowing. And then breast soreness, breast lumps.
Look at the number of breast cancer cases that has come up. It did not exist 20 years ago. It's happening now. There is some, there is a pattern here. A lot of problems related to women's bodies medically that have been existent only in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
And that's, we must pay attention to this as we are becoming, we are this generation of women who are so privileged, although we have lost this connection with this divine body of ours.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And just imagine the change that would happen. I mean, when you look at the feminism and how it's come forward, and the early feminists were, in touch with that anger and saying, no, it's not okay for this to be this way. And often we're suppressed by people saying, oh, those are just angry women, angry men, angry, you know, as though that was a bad thing to be and should be devalued because they're just angry women. And I just imagine the world where an angry woman is a force to be reckoned with and someone to be listened to and honored, because guess what? If women are just angry all the time because you're abusing them or suppressing them or they're not having the support that they need, then that severely diminishes the amount of life force and love that we have in our society and the amount of creativity that we have in society. So when people start, when you know, society starts taking responsibility for the fact that there's all these angry women instead of just saying, oh, those angry women, shove them down again and say, wait a second, what change would we need to make in order for women to be happy and fulfilled and full of joy? How would society have to be for women to be happy? What would our family structures need to look like for women to be happy and not just angry or suppressed angry, right? Big question.
One of the things we also must realize how the dark feminine is playing in our lives is by the way we use our emotions. Because as women, we you know, to be really honest and brutally honest, we know how to manipulate our emotions to control a situation, control the other person. Mm-hmm. And I've done that in the past, and I knew, and only now I can see, look back and see that those were patterns of my dark feminine that was unconsciously leading my lifestyle at that time. You know, we are super emotional creatures, and then we begin to use our emotions to manipulate situation or a person for our own recognition, probably, or just to feel valued or validation. Mm-hmm. And this can be a very disruptive behavior. In my life, it created a big void of very low self-esteem, mm-hmm. for a really long time. And jealousy, self-abuse, all of these things are also the result of not accepting or recognizing our dark feminine energies.
Mm-hmm. And that's part of the process, because first you're suppressing it all together, but often it's during that suppression phase that those emotions, they have to come out some way, and they come out sideways, and they come out as manipulative, and we're not even aware that we're doing it. And then when somebody points it out to us or we become aware of it, then there's all this shame for doing that, right? And then the development out of that is about, okay, how can I just be upfront about communicating about my feelings? And so instead of being angry that somebody did something and holding it in and being resentful and letting it come out sideways on them in various ways, having the courage to say, wait a second here, I'm upset about this because of this. And I can tell them directly that I'm upset, I'm angry about this because I feel like this, it makes me feel like this. I guess it's kind of abstract. So for an example, you know, my husband leaving his socks, his dirty socks on the floor, right? Okay. If I can tell him, instead of just being resentful every time and then, you know, trying to manipulate him to say, look, I would, you know, when you leave your dirty socks on the floor, it makes me feel like you don't care about the house being nice, that you want me to have, you know, you're trying to get me to clean up after you, that you think I should be the one to clean everything up and that you don't have to. And, you know, to say all those things directly. And then I can hear, oh, no, that's not my intention, or, you know, whatever, however he responds. And then we can have a fruitful conversation. And now the dirty socks on the floor are a joke and they get cleaned up much more frequently without a big like, right? And so
it's really up to us. And I think it's our responsibility as, you know, conscious women in this part to, to recognize these aspects of ourselves, to recognize our dark feminine and how they are playing in our lives, so that we can see what lies underneath it, you know, where, as you said, what are the emotions that are lying underneath, like any anger, suppression or repression or whatever, and then work our way through that, so that in the end, I've always noticed that it leads to one of our deep desires of, you know, some kind of fulfillment that we are longing for, fulfillment is the word that I would like to use. And I think relationships are a really good place to begin with, you know, because intimate relationships really trigger our dark feminine energy. So that's a really good place to start with.
Yeah. And often what I've discovered in my exploration of this is that those patterns trace back, like I shared before, to early traumas and even generational traumas, and are that suppression of the emotion and the manipulation patterns or other coping mechanisms are trauma patterns that anytime something resembles that early trauma, we go into that same pattern of coping that we came up with as an infant or as a child without any guidance of how to be wise with our emotions. And we're all having to grow ourselves up because we didn't have that guidance of how to be a fully developed, emotionally wise person. And we didn't get this training of what it meant to be a feminine person and have a feminine affirming and feminine empowered lifestyle. And so we're having to learn that, which means that we've got to sort of dismantle those coping patterns that are based on trauma. And that's part of the trauma healing process, is facing these things that you're talking about as the dark feminine. I call them trauma patterns, right? Oftentimes these twisted dark feminine patterns you refer to are trauma coping mechanisms, for example, that we just keep repeating. And so healing the trauma becomes more complete as we dismantle those coping patterns, or as we really nourish ourselves from deep within and recognize the pleasure and surround that bubble of traumatic pain with pleasure and joy in our feminine cycles and rhythms. And then that scab, that coping mechanism, just falls off like a scab on a wound that gets nourished from underneath. I try not to like rip the scab off, because then you're rewounding it, right? And so it sounds like in your work with the dark feminine, bringing in all these archetypes and this mythology and this recognition and validation of all of these feelings, surrounding it with ceremonial presence and support from your sisters, is doing just that. It's bringing that pleasure, that celebration, that love into that arena, and giving any pain or traumas that might be hidden in there space to open up and come up, and those trauma patterns could easily just fall off like a scab once that wound is healed up with all of that loving attention. Does that sound like that? Does that kind of sound like what happens at your retreats?
Yeah, you seem like you have been attending virtually.
I've been attending virtually these retreats. Well, you know, this is a central part of the work that I've been doing as well. And that's just the way that I would describe it in that framework.
I feel also that when you're doing this work with other women, and when you are witnessed by other women in your dark feminine, then that in itself is a very healing process, because first of all, you slowly shed out those layers of shame around your qualities of the dark feminine, and we bring out the qualities of dark feminine, because these are the qualities that feed you towards in the end, for you to, you know, to stand up for your rights, to speak up, to express yourself in your own unique ways. And then when you bring those aspects of yourself in a healing environment among sisters, a deeper sense of connection and recognition happens, that makes you understand that you're just not the only one going through all of these, you know, and it's not anything bad to experience these kind of dark emotions, because a lot of us experience dark emotions, dark thoughts, and it's fine. It's absolutely okay, and it's easier to accept and non-judgmental, a non-judgment towards ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Right, and we can support each other's wisdom growing, emotional wisdom, and self-love in these practices we do together. So, well, wonderful, Janita. It's such a delight to share with you and listen to your wisdom and all of this. And if someone wanted to get in touch with you and learn more about your future retreats or your other offerings that you have around this or anything else, how would they do so?
So you can reach me on my website, exploringfemininity.com. I think you will have some link somewhere. So that's the best way to look for my work, and there are plenty of resources. I also have a Facebook group that's called Exploring Femininity, and we discuss all these aspects there, and you'll also find daily feminine inspiration and free resources, rituals to connect with your sacred, sensual feminine on a day-to-day basis.
Lovely. Thank you so much for joining us, Janita, and sharing those resources. And those of you listening who would also like to learn more about the Womb-Centered Healing Temple, you can go to wombcenteredhealing.com and learn more about the membership program there and the resources that are available there. So thank you so much for listening in. And I invite you listeners to scroll back through other podcast episodes with other interviewees as well. And some of them are just me sharing my insights and perspectives. And if you enjoyed this episode and the other episodes, please consider subscribing. There, you can make a small contribution by clicking on the subscribe button, and that will really support my podcasting journey and the development of the Womb-Centered Healing Temple. So thank you so much for your support. And we'll see each other again soon.
Thank you, Sama.
Yes. Until next time, that's all for now.